son.
The book of Joshua, please, this morning. Joshua. We'll look at several verses as we make our way through the book of Joshua this morning. Just kind of an overview. I guess it would be a review of the things that we've looked at and studied here. And I would also ask for your prayers. I'm developing this into a Bible college class for our Bible Institute, but also for a couple of other colleges, a teaching and a study on the book of Joshua that'll be very similar to what we've done here. Of course, there will be tests and quizzes and all of those types of things as well, but I just ask that you would pray for me as I kind of expand and develop this into a Bible college course. But let's begin here just at the first chapter of the book of Joshua. In Joshua, the land has now been conquered for the most part. And this morning, in this final lesson of our study of the book of Joshua, I want to stop and review what we studied and kind of see the big picture. We've looked at some specific things that happened, but I want to look at the big picture. Speaking of quizzes, I don't know if I'll add this to my to my Bible college course or not, but do you know who these people are? Any guesses as to who those 10 people are?
Spies.
Those are the 10 spies who said, "Nope, we shouldn't go in.
10 were bad.
We shouldn't go in. 10 were bad." Those are there. How many of you knew even one of their names? Okay, thank you for being honest. I might make that a question on a quiz. But we do remember these names. I don't even have to give you a multiple choice to recall the two who were committed to conquest. Of course, we know they are Joshua and Caleb. 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Very good. Joshua and Caleb were those who were committed to conquest. Did you ever notice how most of the people who have really affected this world for the good have been people who had great drive for accomplishment? Not necessarily a desire to make themselves great, but an unfailing desire to do great things. They had a spirit that would not give up, even in the most discouraging of times. We know this man as President Abraham Lincoln, probably. I'm not going to debate it, but just in my opinion, probably one of the greatest presidents, if not the greatest president to serve our nation. But do you know that Abraham Lincoln had a lot of failures before he became president? He ran for Congress and failed. He failed in business. He lost his wasn't even a fortune, but he lost his livelihood a couple of times. He grew up in abject poverty. He had a number of failures before he became elected president of the United States. And this man, you may know, Thomas Edison, Thomas Edison went through hundreds of filaments before he found the right one that would bring the light bulb. And I think someone said 10,000. 10,000 things he tried. And his response to that was, I've not failed 9,999 times. I've been successful in finding 9,999 things that won't work in making a light bulb. But he stuck with it. He persevered. Many of the great discoveries of our world today came about because of undying determination. Why is it that while some are content to sit on their couch each night and watch TV, others are driven to do bigger and better things that make a difference with their lives? Listen, even if they're physically limited in what they can do, we can all do something. We can all do great things with our lives. There are factors of personality and giftedness and vision, but one of the biggest differences between doing nothing and doing great things is conviction and calling. Conviction and calling. The individuals who do great things feel a calling to spend their lives influencing others' lives, whatever it is, however it is. Joshua had a conviction and a calling from God. Moses had died on the mountain, buried by the hand of God. Joshua has assumed the leadership of the people. Joshua knows that God is calling the people of Israel to go forward into the promised land that he's led them to. We see Joshua approaching this calling with two attitudes that go hand in hand. Two attitudes that we're going to look at this morning that need to be in each of our lives as believers. Here's the first one. Conquest. Conquest. Whenever God calls somebody to do something, he calls them to the great task. It may seem trivial to others, but just the faithful tasks we do every day are great in the eyes of God if we're faithful to them. So you may feel like what you do is minor and insignificant. But if you're faithful to do what God has called you to do, it is a great conquest. And as believers, do we really have an attitude of conquest? Seeking to do great things for God? Let me give you some things here. I'll give you some references. We may or may not look at all of these. I don't think we have the time this morning to look at all of these references, but I'll give them to you. I should have put them in your notes. But here's the first point concerning conquest. It starts with a view of what can be. It starts with a view of what can be in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, all the country, no one can stand against you. He will not forsake you. Joshua had a great vision from God of what could happen to the nation of Israel. Do you have a vision of what God can do through you? Seek to accomplish something so great for God that it's doomed for failure unless God is in it. Do we believe God for things that are humanly impossible? Things that we look at and say, wow, there's no way that I could do that. There's no way that that could happen. Brother Alvin's body is too full of cancer. There's no way that he could come back. His entire liver is engulfed with men. This is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It starts with a view of what can be. Then concerning conquest, secondly, conquest takes courage. Chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I can see already we're not going to have time to read all these, so just mark down the references. Chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Three times in four verses, God tells them to be strong and courageous. Conquest takes courage. God tells them not to be discouraged. In our society, we talk about discouragement a lot. But it's normally really disillusionment. A loss of our vision. Most times it isn't a question of courage. It's a question of vision. As the Christians were facing gladiators and wild beasts, they needed to be courageous. As the Israelites were facing giants in the land, they needed courage. As David faced Goliath, he needed courage. As you face your unsaved boss to share the gospel, it takes courage. But so often when we consider whether to read the Bible or watch TV, there's no question of courage involved. Courage is necessary as we're actively engaged in conquest. Those who are content to sit never accomplish great conquests. Those who are satisfied with the status quo. Here's something else. Conquest means trusting in God's power, not your own. Conquest means trusting in God's power, not your own. How many of us are content to trust God to do things that we can't do ourselves? If it's difficult or uncomfortable, most of us don't want to even consider it. As Joshua enters the land, he trusted in the power of God, not the power of the Jewish army. In chapter 3, verses 9 through 17, as they cross the Jordan, it's God who parts the waters. In chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, as they come to Jericho, it's God who knocks down the walls. Conquest means trusting in God's power, not your own. Here's another point. When we seek conquest but ignore God's direction, we get in trouble. When we seek conquest but ignore God's direction, we get in trouble. Chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. When we seek conquest but ignore God's direction, we get in trouble. Look at this, chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they've even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Achan took of forbidden items, and because of his sin, several Israelites lost their lives. Because when we seek conquest but ignore God's direction, we get in trouble. Maybe we can see God doing great things. Let me give you an example from my own ministry. Of course, it has been and is and will always be my desire that God grows this church. That we see these pews filled. Now, what if in order to do that, I listen to those who say, well, you know, get you a praise team. Have some electric guitars and some upbeat music, and have some people up here gyrating back and forth. And stop preaching so hard on certain things. And, you know, put a little cafe in the fellowship hall or in the back of the auditorium. Call it Hebrews or something. Or do this or that. Things that would amount to compromise concerning what I believe God wants us to do here, and what I think what we all believe. Let me say this. There's nothing necessarily inherently wrong with having an electric guitar. If we had somebody that could play one, that'd be wonderful. Now my son's going to take up the challenge and learn how to play the electric guitar. You know, a lot of guys are opposed to having drums, you know. I think if they're in their place, I'd love to have an orchestra here. But we're not going to compromise what we believe God wants us to do just for the sake of having numbers in our church. In fact, the so-called seeker-sensitive movement that's kind of fallen away today, but it was in its heyday, what they did is, if they were going to a new area to plant a church, they would send out a questionnaire and ask people, what do you want to see in a church service? You know, do you want a loud band? Do you want strobe lights? You know, do you want a preacher that has his shirt buttoned halfway down his chest? See his little two chest hairs poking out? You know, do you want less preaching on sin and more preaching on the love of God? Or do you want preaching at all? Do you want dramas and movies and entertainment? And so they took in those questionnaires and they planted churches based on the input of the people. But here's what happened. Yes, they grew big congregations. I won't call them churches. They grew big congregations. A lot of people came, but they left the same way they were when they got there. There was no change taking place. And the founders of that movement, after 15 or 20 years of doing it that way, They said this, we know it was the wrong way to do it, but we can't change now. We know we should have been more firm on some convictions and in our preaching. We know we should have been separated. One even made this point. There are people who come to our church that go to the nightclub on Saturday night and they come to our service on Sunday morning and they don't know the difference. Listen, if you can't tell the difference between a nightclub and a church house, there's something wrong somewhere. But those down through the years who built churches God's way based on the principles and precepts in the Word of God, 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or even 100 years later, they've got solid believers that are firm in their convictions, and the generations behind them are serving God and walking with God and continuing in the church. The point is, when we seek conquest, when we seek to do great things, but we ignore God's directions, we've got it wrong. We're in trouble. We may have success for a while, but it won't be lasting. Let me give you another verse. Chapter 9, verse 14. Chapter 9, verse 14. Hey, buddy. You gonna play the piano? Not today, maybe sometime. Okay. Amen. Praise God for the children. Amen. Chapter 9, verse 14. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. When the Gibeonites came to seek peace, the Israelites didn't ask God about it. If we endeavor to do God's work in our own way or our own strength, we'll fail. I've got to move along. Here's another point. When you follow God's plans, miraculous things happen. When you follow God's plans, miraculous things happen. Go over to chapter 10. I can see probably we're just going to get through this first point this morning. When you follow God's plan, miraculous things happen. Chapter 10. Verse 11. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethoron that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Adullam. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. God fights the battle for them. If we seek God's power and blessing, things we never thought possible can happen. Just do it God's way. Follow the Lord. Then you don't have to be concerned about where your next step is going to take you. Just follow God. Listen, I know that preach is easy and lives hard. When we walk with God, sometimes we may find ourselves in uncomfortable situations. God may lead us and call us to leave our comfort zone. Anybody been there? But it's God's way, and God will bless it, and God will honor it. Let me give you another one. In conquest, you don't always accomplish all that you want. You don't always accomplish all that you want. Most of the greatest men of history died wanting to still accomplish more. Many of Leonardo da Vinci's greatest inventions were half-drawn and never finished. Over to chapter 13. In conquest, you don't always accomplish all that you want. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. Go down to verse 6. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrephathmanim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide the land for the inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. As Joshua nears death, there's still much land to conquer. There's still much conquest to take place. We need to think of serving God as a team effort. There's not one of us who can evangelize all of Morris County. But if all the Christians in our area would work together and do that part, think about what God could do. Listen, this is not the only church that's preaching the right gospel. Sometimes we may want to think that. We're the only church that's doing anything. We're the only church that's doing it right. But I know some of the other pastors in this area who have a desire to see people get saved. And are doing something to reach out. Working together, we could do great things for God. Listen, if somebody felt led of the Lord to come and buy these houses on the corner and tear them down and put up a church building. And they were led of the Lord to do that so they could help us reach Council Grove for the Lord. I'd say we'll pray for you. We'll do all that we can. Now, first I would say, you know what? Come and join with us. We're trying to do the same thing that you're expressing. Come and join with us. But if they say, nope, God's led me to, you know, do whatever. And I know that's being a bit facetious. I don't think anyone would do that. But if they did, I'd pray for them. Support them. Here's the last point I want to give you this morning under this area of conquest. Then we'll take up the next one next week. God's faithfulness is always true and consistent. God's faithfulness is always true and consistent. Chapter 14. God's faithfulness is always true and consistent. Chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto them, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea? 40 years old when I, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. As Caleb, one of the two spies, comes to claim his land, he gives testimony to the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness is always true and consistent. Do you have a desire for conquest? Not to be on TV or to make a hit record, but to do great things for God. God desires to use each one of us in a great way for His kingdom. But there's something that goes hand in hand with conquest. We'll talk about that next time. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we love You.